It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello, and welcome to Sunday School Dropouts, the podcast where an ex-Christian and a non-believing sort of Jew read all the way through the Bible for the first time. My name is Nico Bakulich, and my normal co-host is Lauren O'Neill. Unfortunately, she has completely lost her voice and can't help record this intro. Luckily for both her and you, our dear, sweet listeners, we have a wonderful episode to present from the halcyon days before she became a voiceless ghost. Before we get to that, however, I should tell you that I am the non-believing sort of Jew, and Lauren is the ex-Christian. Also, this is not a Christian Bible study podcast. Also, this episode is very much not for children because we swear and blaspheme all the time. Without further ado, I present our episode on Acts. Hope you enjoy.
And today we have a third person in the studio. She is the author of two poetry collections, Balloon Pop, Outlaw Black, and Motherland, Fatherland, Homeland Sexuals, a New York Times notable book. Her writing has appeared in the New York Times, The New Yorker, The New Republic, Slate, and the London Review of Books, and I am reading this off the jacket of her third book, memoir called Priest Daddy, which is 100% the best book that you will read in the year 2017.
1,000%.
Patricia Lockwood, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Nico.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I'm here, all right. I'm on an inhaler and cough medicine. And I fucking read Acts on the plane, and I'm so ready to do this.
And we're going to go for it.
Yeah.
I have to tell you that, so you signed my copy of your first book as TT.
TT. It's one of my names.
So now we refer to you in this household as TT.
TT.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be like, oh yeah, like, you know, Trisha Lockwood's new book is out. And then Nico's like, oh, you mean TT?
TT. That works for me.
Once you give a nickname, you cannot take it back.
You can't take it away. No. It's not like Patricia is such a good name that you can't like improve on it a little bit.
Sure. Mm.
I like Titsy. TT is good. Patitsy. Patitsa. Anything you want.
Any of those.
All of them.
So we normally ask our guests what their religious background is. In your case, that is largely
Freaky.
The subject of
your
book.
Yeah, just read the book. It's easier.
We don't want to give it away for free. No.
Good point.
Do you want to just give us the elevator pitch?
Well, my book is called Priest Daddy.
Priest Daddy.
Now, my daddy's a priest. It's just I wanted to put it all out front up there to begin with.
Yeah.
So my dad is literally a married Catholic priest.
So
I grew up inside like a church's butt, pretty much. Well, first he was an atheist, and then he was down on a nuclear submarine watching The Exorcist 72 times, and he converted. Then he became a Lutheran minister, and since he was already married to my mom, he could apply to get a special dispensation from Rome and become a married Catholic priest. It's just a really sort of rare thing that happens.
Yes. So, weird loophole.
Tiny little loophole that no one else wants to get through. This guy's like, yes, I'm exploiting this. This is mine.
And have you read the Bible before? Because I know Catholics...
Yeah, bitch, I've read the damn Bible.
Catholics,
it's true. We don't read it.
Don't read the Bible. Here's a quote from your very book. It says... Bible verses were ... fine, but we secretly thought they would be more effective if they bled when you read them, just as we thought the commandments ought to shriek when they were broken.
That's very Catholic. But at the same time, that was like a super evangelical youth group.
Right.
And so we did read the Bible.
Right.
I see.
Just in a special kind of way.
Mm. Got it. I also
Acts, though.
I mean,
Acts sucks.
Reading this, I have not read Acts before. Like,
there's a reason.
None of this is familiar to me.
Because guess what? Jesus isn't there anymore. suddenly we're suffering from a lack of charisma.
Mm. Yeah, now we just have Paul.
Yeah. Well, Paul
who's the shiniest boy in the room.
Oh, but... he is shiny boy. Mm-hmm. Shiny as the horse's hoof that flung him. But it wasn't a horse. He was just walking.
He was just walking.
Just walking.
Yeah.
Saul of Tarsus. I know more than I seem to know.
No, you
that
seem
goes
like
for
you know
any
a lot.
Subject, really. But yes, I know. But Acts sucks because Jesus is no longer there. So you start off really strong with fucking Pentecost. And everyone's like, I have a flame above my head and a new tongue in my mouth. And you end, amazingly, with the shipwreck on Malta.
Yes.
Which is basically one of these interesting things that happens in the Bible, where just sort of like between two verses, you can feel an entire other book open out. In this case, it's like the Tempest or something, right?
Yeah, totally.
So you are. So you're going along and you're like, what? Paul is shipwrecked on Malta? But you feel this other book open out behind it. That's one of the really interesting things about the Bible.
And then that book is cut for length.
Yeah, yeah. Just imagine it. And that's basically how novels were invented.
All right, so I'm gonna do some fast facts real quick.
Okay.
I'll make them very fast.
Thank you.
Book of Acts, written in Koine Greek, by whoever wrote Luke, who was not actually Luke, but...
Wasn't Luke.
We'll call him that for convenience sake. And likely written around the same time, so around like 80, 90 or so, possibly before the Gospel of John. However, it seems like this manuscript is way more contested than Luke. There's more versions floating around. Mm. It seems like it kept being edited for a long time, probably because it's a much more political text than the Gospels. Mm. It's about the very earliest days of the Christian church, like immediately after Jesus died. So you've got, you know, this weird offshoot of Judaism that's now being taken up by Jews and Gentiles in different cities all over the Roman Empire. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of rifts, right? Like Gentiles in Rome.
It's a bickering book.
Everybody's
yeah.
Got,
I've forgotten what like a bickery
a
book it was. Yeah.
Book.
Yeah. So it kind of pretends that everything is going fine in the church. It's like, right. Yeah, if there's any problems, we're dealing with them real quick, real fair. The only
we
problem...
all agree you can eat the animals yeah. that you couldn't eat before, right? It's like it's very political.
The only problem that we recognize in this book is the Jews, quote unquote.
I'm sorry. Can we talk about the plots of the Jews?
The plots
which
of
I
the
did
Jews.
Not remember how many times that phrase was invoked in this text.
And apparently, from what I read, like, so it, you know, as it kept being edited over decades, maybe even centuries, that was a lot of what was added in.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Adding
no, that
in
makes
more
a lot of sense.
Stuff about how the Jews
really,
were bad.
Really sticks out. It's literally like we're going along, and then plots of the Jews. Like what's happening
yeah.
there?
Yeah, and considering it's written by someone Jewish,
yep.
and like
yep.
Paul is Jewish and Peter is Jewish.
I was very intrigued because there's a moment in the text when he specifically says they're at Antioch, and it says this is the first time that they call themselves Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, Paul goes, and when he's giving all his testimony, he's very clearly saying, I'm a Jew.
Yeah, and he was like, I was a Pharisee. I was raised mm-hmm. in the strictest sect. Make sure that's
so...
right before.
Oh, it is.
But yeah, okay.
It is.
10 out of 10.
So that's the deal with Acts. It's very different from the Gospels, very ahistorical and like very... it's just like very much in the legends and folktales category.
Yeah. And it's really like, and then they go there, and then they go mm-hmm. there. There's 1,000 names. There are like 40 guys named Ananias for some reason.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
big
the
name back
going
then.
On there. I did like the part where Peter yelled at him so hard that he died.
Yeah, ooh. We'll get to that.
Okay.
So we'll start with chapter one. Real quick, this is something we were confused about, is how long after Jesus rose from the dead was he zapping in and out and visiting disciples?
True.
And mm-hmm. the answer is 40 days. And
that's convenient.
Yes. Yeah. What are the chances, right?
Neurologically convenient.
And so it's been 40 days since Jesus died. And they've got a group of about 120 people, which is the disciples, presumably including all the auxiliary disciples. The women, quote unquote.
The women. There are some of those.
And Jesus's mom and brothers. If it's not including the lesser disciples, then it rules because that means there's like 20 men and 100 women.
Yeah.
And they convene to pick someone to replace Judas, who in this version did not kill himself. Instead, he used the money that he got from betraying Jesus to buy a field. And when he was out in the field, he, quote, fell headlong and his body burst open and all his intestines
his
spilled out.
His entrails just spilled.
And this naturally became known to all the residents of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language, the field of blood.
The field of blood.
Why not, like, the field of guts or the bursting field.
Mm. They should have made it the bursting field.
You can do better than that. Come on.
That makes it sound like popping boba.
This is what we miss when Jesus is no longer here, right?
So they replaced Judas with Matthias. Doesn't seem to do anything else in the book.
Yeah, I had forgotten that there was also a bonus Judas in the Apostles.
Oh, yeah. There's a like a good Judas. Yeah.
That is the...
There's like another... Like, there's like a million Judases. It's like a very popular name.
I just feel like if you're the good Judas who's an apostle, you really got boned by history.
Yeah, it's like Kevin Hitler. It's like something that shouldn't even exist.
Like, Kevin is a great orthodontist.
Right.
And he takes good care of his family, but it doesn't matter.
It's Kevin Hitler. Too bad, Kevin.
And then Pentecost arrives. I did not know. I was raised Presbyterian. Mm. I did not know what Pentecost was.
What the frick are you talking about?
Please tell us
Pentecost
about...
Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit goes down on all of us. Spiritually.
Uh-huh.
And linguistically as
uh-huh.
well. Wait, so you guys didn't think about this?
Not in my church, no.
Damn.
There's Protestant churches that do it, obviously, but...
They're called Pentecostal, right?
Well, yeah, there's this whole thing.
That's one
It's
of
a thing. It's
I thought it was a like a five-coast thing.
Well, so here's the thing, is that what I didn't know is that originally it was just the Greek word for the Hebrew holiday of Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, which happens 50 days after Passover.
It's so boring, though.
Greek-speaking Jews were... to me, I'm like, etymology? There's literally nothing more interesting.
No. No.
Greek-speaking Jews were already calling Shavuot Pentecost. But so now it's obviously a Christian holiday because 50 days after Easter, the Holy Spirit
goes down on you.
Goes down on you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What happens exactly is a violent wind shakes the house that the disciples are in. They're all enveloped in tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit enters them. They start speaking in tongues. And some bystanders are like, quote, here's the direct quote. They have had too much wine.
New wine.
New wine.
Mine didn't have new wine.
Girl, what translation are you using?
The fucking...
Then I love the response. He's like, they're not drunk. It's 9 in
it's
the morning.
It's 9 in the morning.
The one time you can't be drunk. Yeah.
Nobody is drunk.
Right? You're at 9 in the morning.
And then he's like, okay, these men are not drunk. It's 9 in the morning. They're just following Jesus. You too can follow Jesus and be drunk at 9 in the morning.
Holy shit. And so we see this like parallel universe that could have happened where there was a wine religion that spun off of this. A new wine at 9. New wine,
new
at,
wine
nine.
At 9.
That's the name of your drive time show.
Bam. Put it in print.
TT in the morning, new wine at 9.
TT in the morning, new wine at 9.
Everybody loves this pitch. 3,000 people convert.
Yeah, instantly.
So they went from 120 to 3,120 in one day.
Well, you just all converted when I said that. I think it would be
easy. You know
easy.
What? You're right.
Right.
I mean,
I relate to this book because I do think this would be easy.
I do think the drive time market undersaturated right now.
Yeah.
So that's Pentecost. And then when you hear about Pentecostal Christians, they're all about like going back to the very earliest church.
I see.
And we like to picture the room where it happened, the upper room.
Huh.
We love to think about that. Sort of like is the inside of our own skulls, or that's just me. But like that's how we think of it.
That's a lovely image.
You don't think of like exposed ceilings, what kind of natural light you're getting?
No.
Okay.
No.
Granite countertops.
It's like a basilica, but it's your head.
And so that's why you hear about Pentecostal Christians speaking in tongues, handling snakes. Trisha, in the book, you talk about going to like an evangelical youth group, although you were obviously raised Catholic.
Right. It was a fusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they spoke in tongues there. You said that you could never do it because it felt like sticking your finger down the English language's throat.
Yeah. It was literally people just standing there being like, shamanana ding dong. Like it was. And you would be standing there listening to them and you're like, I don't think that is what God's language would be. In my opinion, so... But the idea of speaking in tongues is that everyone did it, so you weren't listening to each other, sort of like you all, like communal showering after gym or something like that.
So then all these believers start living communally.
Mm-hmm.
They all like sell all their possessions and then they give the money to like the commune.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very communistic. Yeah.
And they use that to buy food and whatever everybody needs.
New wine.
And they just spend their days praising God and convincing new people to sell all their shit and join the pyramid scheme.
That only works as long as you can get new people, though.
Yeah, but guess what? They're going to get those new people.
Yeah, they're going to get them.
And the top disciples are going around performing miracles. converting more and more people, you know, making the pyramid bigger and bigger.
Sure.
Then we get to this man
like
named
Mary Kay, or like what is
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
what is it
that or like Herbalife.
Yeah. Herbalife. Yeah. Herbalife. Yeah.
Of course, we didn't say that. You know, they're very litigious.
All right. No, yeah. We were talking
strike
about
that.
Schmerbel Schmeif. Yep. A man named Ananias joins this commune. And
big mistake, Ananias.
Sells some property. And he's supposed to give all the money, but he doesn't.
When it starts, a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife, Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And I was like, instantly being like, this is going to be blamed on the wife.
Sapphira much? Yeah, it's like practically Elvira.
And I was wrong, but not for the reason I thought.
Exactly, right?
So when Peter sees this incomplete sum of money, he says with masterful church lady judgment, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? And Ananias falls down and dies.
Yeah. Instantly dies.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Instantly
dies. He got roasted so hard.
One of my favorite things about Acts, though, is that something like that will happen. They're like, and then Peter yelled at Ananias so hard that he died. And then the next sentence will be, but still the message of God continued to be spread over the land.
Yes.
It's always something like that, just like as a capper. I love that about Acts. It's so good.
Yes. And then, of course, his wife Sapphira comes in without knowing what happened. They're like, oh, is this the whole amount of money? And she's like, yeah. And then he's like,
bitch,
why?
No, that's a lie.
Stop lying to God. She falls down
and
that dies.
The first one, accidental. He didn't know he could kill people
accidental,
with his voice.
Accidental, ha-ha.
Second one, good. He just killed a man.
Yeah.
And then he deploys
with
the same
voice.
Methods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the second one's murder.
So yeah.
Totally. 100%. Because now you know.
If we have any listeners who are doing Herbalife or any other types of pyramid schemes, that might be a good tactic. Just be so disappointed in someone that they die.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, that's bad for their bottom line, though.
Well.
Oh, true.
Depends.
Yeah. Didn't they lose a Christian that day?
Mm.
Two Christians?
But they got a good story.
Yeah, yeah, with which to convert more non-believers. I see how this works now.
So as the church grows, there start to be some conflicts between the Grecian Jews, quote-unquote, and the Hebraic Jews.
Who happen to be plotting? I mean, like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, so they're having disputes about the way that resources are being distributed communistically.
Sure.
And the apostles don't really want to deal with this, so they appoint seven dudes to like do admin for the church.
Right.
And they are Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, who is a Gentile convert. And these are all Greek names.
Are they? Did you just make those up?
I made up Nicanor, but everything else was legit.
That's what I thought.
And so that means there's a dispute between the Grecian Jews and the Hebraic Jews, and they appointed all Grecian Jews.
Very convenient.
Take care of it. And my Bible's footnotes actually say that this is good because then the Grecian Jews' interests will be represented. And that's the only explanation.
I'm sorry, again, like
gets.
What Bible are you
the
using?
The fucking new international version.
New
what kind
Bible.
Of trash Bible do you think
well,
I have?
We have fresh, it. We have stacks of Bibles.
We have literally stacks of Bibles. Other but Bibles. Most of them are NIVs. Now, Stephen is now in charge of like church's day-to-day operations. As a Protestant, I don't know anything about saints.
Oh shit, you don't know about he got stoned.
We don't do anything with saints.
He got the shit stoned out of him while Paul held the cloaks and turned his face away. Oh, we are very into that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me what you know about Saint Stephen.
I physically pictured him with holes in his body, like Swiss cheese, like the stones going through him.
Stones going through him.
Yeah. I mean, you hear about these things when you're like four. So
right.
you have a child's idea of the martyrdom of St. Stephen. Yeah.
Yeah. So he gets stoned to death by the Jewish high priests.
Ooh, I've got it. St. Stephen is the John the Baptist to Paul.
This is a gospel. It's just with Paul instead of Jesus.
Yeah, kind of.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of parallels.
Well, we just figured it out, didn't we?
Well, I guess we're done with this podcast.
Yeah, I guess we're done with the Bible.
We solved
entirely.
Christianity.
We solved it.
Yeah, so Paul is Saul still. Well, I guess always. I don't know.
That's a little metaphysical, isn't it?
He's
like if you replace the handle and then replace the bristles, is it still the same guy?
Ooh. Paul is the Argo. So he's part of the Pharisees, part of the Jewish establishment that's persecuting these new Christians. He now begins a campaign of terror.
Let's call it that, yeah.
Against the followers of the Way.
The Way. I know. Mm-hmm. I loved it being called the Way.
I like that too.
Trisha, did you learn in Sunday school the song that was like, I am the Way? Did you learn that one?
That is what it sounded like because I do not recognize that now. Because
I know in your book you did have the one about going bananas.
Yeah, and I would sing that if I weren't having like this asthma problem right
now. I learned a different version.
Sing it right now.
He's a peach of the Savior. He's the apple of my eye. He goes stomping through the vineyards when the grapes are growing high. He's so plum wonderful.
Oh, my God.
And that's the reason why.
No.
I just go bananas for my Lord. Yeah. Mine's punnier than yours.
Yeah. Wow.
Yours is like hot.
Mine was for adults. Mm. Mine was for the adult version. Bananas for the Lord.
It was the sophisticated bananas.
I mean, did you say adults who have gone bananas for the Lord?
Yeah. They've done it. New wine at 9.
He's arresting everyone he can. Saul is kind of backfires because then Christians start fleeing to other cities and setting up churches there. So he's accidentally just making it spread.
You just fucked yourself, crap boy.
You just fucked yourself, crap boy. Meanwhile, Philip has taken over from Stephen, who was immediately stoned to death after taking charge and didn't do jack shit else.
Nope. Except inspire humanity for centuries, Lauren.
I'm sorry.
Unless you're not a Catholic.
And then you don't even know.
He looks great in stained glass, too.
He looks fantastic in stained glass, and so do the rocks.
Mm. I, like, didn't even know
It's this whole thing.
Didn't know who Stephen was.
Well, I forgive you your ignorance.
Thank you, baby.
I don't.
In fact,
I'm taking this to my grave, which will be a martyr's grave.
Stephen asked God to forgive his persecutor's ignorance.
And but isn't that kind of shade, though?
I think
he's
it was,
like, they're so ignorant, you're just going to have to forgive them, God.
I think that was like ultimate shade.
Yeah.
Like death shade. Mm. Night shade. Meanwhile, Philip and Peter and John are going around healing people, doing miracles. I want to pause quickly to talk about some of the people that they converted, because one of them was named Simon the Sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. I'm so interested in Simon the Sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
And also one of them is an Ethiopian eunuch.
Yes.
Yes.
Also
great
my
story.
Favorite.
Who is, quote, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know more about those people.
What do you suppose is in the treasury of a woman named Candace?
All of the balls of the eunuchs.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
It's obvious.
I was thinking about, like, I don't know, a bunch of pet eggs or something. Like,
no,
Bakelite jewelry.
It's balls.
It's balls.
It's just balls.
There's an episode for any listeners who also listen to the podcast, Exvangelical. His interview.
That's a small little group. That's a niche group.
Yeah. No one knows what that's about. Mm. No one has ever left Christianity. He has an interview with a guy named Peterson Toscano who talks about who like spent 17 years in ex-gay therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about the eunuchs in the Bible, and he had some really, really cool stuff to say about this particular encounter. And now Saul heads to Damascus to persecute.
This is gonna be important. This will be on the test.
Yeah, this will be on the test. Mm. This is the only story from Acts that I had actually heard before.
I can't believe I fucking read this again. I know all of this stuff. I thought we were going to be like quizzed. I thought it was going to be like the SATs for the Bible.
I mean, we can make it the SATs
for the
Bible.
No, I'm way ahead of the game. I've corrected you like 6 times.
I'm sorry. My puny Bible knowledge. I'm sorry. I was raised Protestant. It was like there was no saints.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saul's getting close to Damascus, and then a blinding light
I wonder
light
if a blinding light is
going
to come from the
down
sky.
Upon him.
It somehow knocks him on his ass.
A voice says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul's like, what the fuck? Who is this?
New phone.
Who this? And the voice is like, it's me, Jesus, et cetera, et cetera.
But no one else hears it. They see the light, but they don't hear it.
I thought it was the other way around. They heard the voices but didn't see the light.
No. They see the light, but they don't hear the voice.
Oh, okay.
We can check that, though, but I'm pretty sure that's true.
I
felt like the first time they heard the voice and did not see the light, and then every time he told the story afterwards, it was reversed.
Oh, like, okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But, hey, who cares?
It's so you think he's a liar.
It's Schrodinger's blinding light.
Yes.
You think he's a liar. Yes. All right, that's a position.
He's blind. He gets up, he's blind.
For just 3 days, though.
Goes to Damascus and chills out blind. And he fasts for 3 days because God told him to await instructions. And then God appears in a vision to this Christian guy. His name is Ananias.
They're all named Ananias.
In Damascus, and tells him, go to this house on Straight Street.
Mm.
I love that we get the street name. Wish it was Gay Street, but can't always get what we want. Go to this house and ask for Saul of Tarsus, lay hands on him and restore his sight. And then Ananias is like, isn't that the guy who came here to like fuck up your shit? And God's like, yeah, but now he's going to be my emissary to the Gentiles.
Fuck up the world shit by making it all Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're like, and fuck up the Jews shit most importantly.
Who plot against him every time.
And so Ananias finds him, lays hands on him. The scales fall off his eyes.
Mm. Things like scales. What things were like scales. They?
Something like scales.
What was that?
How was that from a blinding? I thought the blinding light was, you know, like.
Maybe like scabs.
Yeah. Or like maybe, you know, like when you get a little crust in your eye.
Mm. Some crusties.
Maybe it was like.
Pink eye.
Total crust.
Maybe.
Yeah, like total pink eye.
Look this up later.
Okay.
Online.
Everyone, just Google crusty eyes. Scales.
Yeah. Things like scales.
Why are my eyes like scales?
3 day blindness, Ananias touched me. Anything, just any Google search string.
WebMD is like, you may be about to convert to Christianity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you a Roman citizen?
Now the tables are turned because now Paul is the one who's being persecuted by the Jewish authorities.
I think he does.
He likes it.
I think he does.
And he gets in jail like every other day. So this book is about two things. It's about couch surfing, and it's about going to jail. And then getting shipwrecked on Malta.
Yeah, those are the main, argue with that. Yeah. Those are the main
just all
things.
This stuff, yeah.
So he goes back to Jerusalem, and this is, you know, people are like, oh, whatever, who is this guy? He's the one who's trying to kill us. They don't let him in. But then this guy Barnabas vouches for him, so he's in.
You can always count on a Barnabas. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
That's a steady name.
It is, yeah. Unlike the other Barabbas, you just change it a tiny bit, and then it's slightly different.
Yeah, when you change things a bit.
They do become at least slightly different.
They sometimes become slightly different.
This, I live my life by this motto.
Now we've got Peter, who has a vision of various non-kosher animals.
Mm.
This is a cool-ass, very black metal vision.
I agree.
But also, he was just hungry, right?
Well,
he wanted to eat a shrimp.
That cartoon moment when, you know, the person you're shipwrecked with turned into a giant,
yeah,
like, turkey.
Yeah, he gets a
leg.
Ham for a head. Yeah.
And then, but he's, like, just envisioning reptiles and shellfish.
Dugongs.
All of it.
And
Nothing can be profane.
But they didn't eat the dugong. They were allowed to use the dugong hide, but not eat it?
Yes.
What'd they do with the rest of the dugong?
I don't know.
The Gentiles could eat it, but not the Jews.
They sold it to the Gentiles.
As usual.
Special dugong markets.
Sea beef, yeah.
So he's envisioning all these non-kosher animals, and God's like, hey, you can eat these. And he's like, no, I can't.
But also, I'm intrigued.
But tell me more. Yeah. And at the same time, God gives vision to a Roman centurion named Cornelius. Obviously not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
They get some great ass names.
Yeah. I know.
Really
fantastic
do.
Names.
I would be a centurion just to get one of the name, like Octavius.
Yeah.
You know, anything like that.
And it tells him to send, this vision tells the centurion to send for Peter, so he does. Normally, Peter wouldn't be allowed to eat a meal with a Gentile because...
Which, that's weird.
Well, Gentiles are dirty.
Filthy.
Yeah, that's like a Mike
They're
Pence
filthy.
Kind of thing. Right?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah.
And the food probably isn't kosher.
Mm. And it certainly wasn't prepared with the restrictions.
Right. But he says, oh, I know what that wet dream about frogs was about now. Mm. It was about
I want to fuck frog.
I want to fuck frog. And no one is impure, even...
No one is impure, even the guy who wants to fuck frogs.
Yeah.
It's very convenient. What a convenient book this is. In a very convenient, larger text.
So it's convenient that God inspired these people to write this book.
True. True.
So he has his dinner, converts Cornelius, comes back to Jerusalem and everyone's like, ew, disgusting. Like, you ate with a Gentile. They're not circumcised.
Yeah. So that's when we really get into the circumcision.
Yes. Which is great because most of the Old Testament is focused on circumcision.
Right.
Most
and
of it.
I've really been missing that.
It's
we're talking about dicks again.
Yeah.
Also, how is it important that you, like, what's their eat style? That
you just scoop it up with your foreskin.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so that's, you know, it's like,
what if... It's like buffet style, but you just fill up your foreskin.
What? That's just such a disgusting image. Wow. Can't believe we did that. Sorry.
I'm sorry, I can't move on from the image.
Oh my God.
It's from the Bible.
Well, you've seen those guys that like stretch their foreskins online and they put stuff in them.
Yeah, yeah. What are, can you tell us more about them?
No, I can't. I mean, like, that's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen images where it's like, there's something in there that should... Like, there's like a spoonful of rice in your dick.
In your dick.
And that's what was going on, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
But you have to go back for salad.
Yeah. For sure.
I can understand why people were against Peter doing this, but, you know, God told him that it's cool. You can do whatever you want with your dick.
Shovel it in.
Yeah. And what else do we got? Oh, some folks set up a church in Antioch, which is now in Turkey, or in what is now Turkey. And it says that that's where they first start to be called Christians, which I thought
kind of important, but a letdown.
Totally.
As you're reading it, you're like, well, that's not.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's just kind of mentioned in passing.
It's mentioned in passing. And then no one uses the term for the rest of the
book.
That's true.
No, they
that's
always
true.
Say they're followers of the way.
Right.
The way.
Or they say, I'm a Jew who, you know, believes in X, Y, and Z about this Jesus guy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Paul will go on tour.
You got it. See you in a minute. Bye. Welcome back to Sunday School Dropouts. My name is Nico.
And I'm Lauren, and we have with us in the studio, Trisha Lockwood, author
I am also
of
here.
The memoir
She
Priest
Will
Day.
Not be ignored.
I won't leave. I'm staying till the Bible is over.
Our new roommate, Trisha Lockwood,
I live
is here.
Now, with my cat, Ananias.
It's a good name. It means pineapple.
I mean, we should look it up, right?
I thought you said
look
etymologies were
name?
Boring, bitch.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. I'm thinking of like a anal. There's like a very anal element.
Anal-nias.
Like, yeah.
Ananus.
Right. And an anus.
And an anus.
And an anus, yeah. So we should look it up, probably.
Or it's like.
I don't think we need to. I think we figured it out.
It's like the opposite of anias, which is obviously an anus.
Mm,
so it's a mouth.
Okay. Oh, mouth of God.
Mm-hmm.
Done and done. So, what we have now is a little man named Paul. Well,
I picture him as being kind of tall and ripped.
Oh, I'm sorry. A tall and ripped man named Paul.
Yeah, super hot.
He's going to go on tour, and he's going to visit Christian churches all around the Roman Empire.
Hmm, a man with a philosophy going on tour reminds me of a little movie called Roadhouse.
Oh, my God. You're so right. That's a Christ story.
I mean, yes.
Obviously.
Dalton is 100% a Christ figure.
Yeah.
Except he throws a better punch.
And he is a murderer as well.
Jesus is a murderer of sin.
Well,
and
I
of
mean,
demons.
No, but if he's part of God, God is ultimately slicing us all down.
I mean, God does have the highest body count of
yeah.
any being
so
in the world.
So he's got a
in
hand
world.
In that.
Good point. I have no theological argument to that.
Mm.
Basically, we don't need to go into the very gritty details
Oof,
of
what
this.
Relief.
because
it's a gritty book.
Happens pretty much the same thing happens like in every city, which is he goes and
they go there.
Preaches, which right, is they go there.
Like, and they went. And it's like, cool. All right.
And then it's like, they stayed there 3 days and were taken very nice care of. Oh, that's
and
actually
it's
also, rather pleasant.
And it's like, we converted this guy and also his whole household. So it was like, there was never some girl, like a Daria upstairs who was like, no, dad, I'm not converting to the way.
Or at least they didn't.
There was never a holdout.
They didn't at least write that part down.
Yeah. That there are other novels opening out.
Yeah, there we go.
It's
and
the source.
So the other thing is that he always gets kind of driven out of town by some plotting Jews.
Yep. He does.
Yep.
So he goes and he, you know, first he preaches to the Jewish church and he's like, you know, I'm Jewish, you're Jewish, we're all Jewish, and we got to follow this Jewish Messiah. Mm-hmm. Then he preaches to the Gentiles. And the Jews don't like that. And then they sometimes, you know, try to stone him to death or kick him out of town.
But it's why the targets of the mission ultimately became the Gentiles as opposed to the Jews.
The whole book seems like a justification for turning away from Judaism.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, if you've decided that Jews are all just plotting to get you, like... It's very easy to say, oh, yeah, we got to focus on Gentiles
now. These guys
now.
Who keep putting me in jail or like hiding in large groups and not eating until they kill me. Hmm. Yeah.
So I was confused when we were reading earlier books of the Bible. I was like, where does all this anti-Semitism come from? Because, you know, it's mostly about Jews. Yeah. And then even in the Gospels, I'm like, well, the Jews are there, but it actually explains the political expedience for them, you know, getting rid of Jesus pretty accurately. But this book is packed with it.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I was surprised because, like, I had read this. But
yeah.
I was like, don't remember that, though. Huh.
And that was never talked about in my church.
No.
One interesting thing that happens is in Lystra, Paul and his traveling companion Barnabas, again.
Trustworthy
good
name.
Good guy.
You just know. You can rely on him.
Got your back.
People think that they're Zeus and Hermes. And try to sacrifice something to them.
I blanked on this for a second.
And then they're like, no, that is extremely blasphemous. That's not us. And then they convene the council in Jerusalem to decide
if... You really like that shit, don't you? The councils, the appointments.
I know, fucking episode one was her favorite.
Different backgrounds of interest.
Well, the subject of the council is whether Gentiles need to circumcise themselves.
Yeah. Which is big, I guess, but I'm still
not as big
about...
as it used to be.
Yeah.
You're not interested in deciding whether or not Gentiles get to keep their dicks intact.
Nah.
Do you know about St. James?
Once upon a time, I may have.
Well,
St. James Infirmary, that's a good song.
St. James.
It is good. Let's play that.
Yeah, open up wide. It's jazz time.
Yeah. It's actually blues. It's called St. James Infirmary
that is,
Blues.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Well, I mean, it's a jazz standard.
Don't. Oh, is it?
Absolutely.
Oh. I thought it was like a blues standard. Whatever. St. James is the one who says...
Wow, you guys are going to duke this out later, aren't you? Two white people deciding what's jazz and what's blues. Never seen that before.
What else are we here for if
I'm pretty
not
sure
to
the first
that.
Person to draw a line between those was definitely white.
St. James is the original intactivist.
Oh,
he's
God
the one
damn.
Who says...
Man, we haven't talked about intactivism for quite a while,
I know.
Have
we got in trouble with the intactivists for some of our early episodes.
You did.
Yeah, because they were all about circumcision. And it wasn't our fault. That's just what is in the Bible, but...
It's like a tenth of the Bible.
People were like, it's not a joke. It's very serious.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
the sensation was robbed from me. I don't mean to, because I don't know what it's like. But you know, so I feel you, intactivists, but I didn't know that was a word till just now.
Yeah. And St. James... Is their
he
patron saint?
It all.
Their patron
so
saint.
So is his infirmary a place where he treats people?
Maybe he
dicks have been cruelly.
Yeah, maybe he like
mutilated.
You can kind of get one put back on now, can't you?
You look at me like this is something I've investigated.
You had your dick skin reconstituted.
I have my dick on the pulse of modern medical science.
Gross.
She asked me.
I'm just thinking, this is like definitely one of your grossest episodes.
No, come on.
No.
I mean,
top
you
three.
Should, like, look at the Old Testament, though. Like, it's gross.
It's nasty.
Paul picks up a new disciple named Timothy, but they do make him get circumcised. He's half Jewish, half Greek. And they do make him get circumcised because, quote, the Jews who lived in that area knew that his father was a Greek.
Sure, circumcise the Greek guy.
In Macedonia, Paul has a new traveling companion. This is Silas.
Yeah.
Now, Silas, that doesn't sound as trustworthy a name to me. That sounds like a villain.
There's that like Deadwood character and you don't know whether he's good or bad. Yeah. And Sarah Paulson fucks him because he's so dumb and she's evil and I would like a show about her.
Pitch it. I can get you in touch with people.
Pinkerton. Continue.
This is that show.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing now.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is that show.
Yeah. Sarah Paulson. That's what we're doing. Son of Paul. Sarah, son of Paul.
Nice. I see why you love etymology so much.
I can tell. You know,
is
did you know
a
that?
Trial to you? Does this always happen?
Yes, I'm always found guilty. Mm.
Did you know that, like, if somebody has son in their name, like, that means that, like, they're the son of somebody?
What about Son House?
Yeah,
Jazz or Blues?
He's the son of House Blues. He's the son of Dr. House.
I bet that show doesn't hold up.
House?
I'm just saying.
Well, they made approximately 6,000 episodes, so...
It doesn't hold up.
I've only seen, like, 3 episodes, and one of them was, like, Dr. House was, like, doing, like, a late-term abortion.
Sure.
And then, like, the baby, like, reached its hand out of the womb and, like, grabbed his finger.
Really?
Yeah.
They did that?
Yeah.
What happened to his face? Was it, like, the Grinch when...
It was, like... Yeah, his heart had grown 3 sizes. Mm. He could no longer abort the innocent child.
That's fucked up.
And then I can't remember what happened next. I guess he just sewed it back up.
I'm not sure. Is that how it works?
I don't know.
It isn't how it works.
I don't know. It doesn't work that babies rip their hands, grab you.
Show where Dr. House is Saul of Tarsus, is converted by the baby's hand clutching at him, and then goes forth over the face of the earth in some sort of Doctors Without Borders scenario to convert people to the way.
You're giving me this face like...
No takers? Anyone?
It's a soft pass.
Yeah, well, we'll circle back to it. Okay. Let's put a pin in it.
Let's put a pin in that.
Is Hugh Laurie attached already?
Attached?
To the project.
To the project.
Yes. Yes, he is.
I thought attached was like a euphemism for circumcision.
So did I. And I was like, shit. There's so much about the intactivist that I don't know.
Good, good.
In Macedonia, Paul and Silas drive the demon out of a slave girl.
Yeah, that story I want a little more about.
So, like, her slave owners have been using her because the demon can predict the future. So they've been, like, renting her out to predict the future. And now the demon is gone, so they're very angry. And
he's like, get out of her.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, okay, but, like, now I'm not the goose that lays the golden egg anymore. Like, this is dangerous for me.
So, like,
and she has to pass. Doesn't he pass her in the street multiple times while he's staying in Macedonia?
And he gets annoyed.
Yeah,
that's what it says.
Well, because the demon keeps following him and being like, hey, Paul, what's up? You're a fucking a Christian. I hate you.
I mean, I guess, what did it say?
It just kept saying, like, you're Paul.
No, it was backing up Paul. It was saying, Paul, you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're like an agent of God on this earth.
Yeah, so like, why did it annoy him so
bad? I don't know.
Is he like, I know,
bitch. He's there to preach. I don't know.
Whatever. He wants his cover blown.
Yes.
More than his dick, he wants his cover blown.
That's indisputable textually.
Paul. More than his dick, he wants his cover blown.
Yeah, and he gets annoyed.
I like a word like that being in the Bible. I like when people are just like not striking you down or, you know, really thunderous events, but like, I'm irritated.
Oh, no.
Totally.
You know, those are the best moments.
Totally. Yeah.
The little human moments among all the garbage.
Or when they're like, Jehu drives like a madman.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the good shit. The good shit.
And then so they get thrown in jail. The slave owners have Paul and Silas thrown in jail, but it doesn't say what happens to the slave girl.
I know. Yeah. And I'm like, but wasn't she the most interesting part of all this?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't cure her of her slavery. So
right.
Presumably.
Yep. So she's kind of the biggest thing there that you should have attended to.
Yeah. And then like an earthquake frees them from jail and they convert the jailer.
Amazing.
Still nothing about the slave girl.
Yeah.
I love when they're in Athens and it's like, oh, some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers.
Yeah.
Hear Paul preaching and they invite him to like come present his exciting new philosophy to them because, quote, all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. It's like just the stereotype is like has been the same for 2000 years. It's like, but oh, also, yeah, Athens. What do? There? They just fucking talk about philosophy all day.
But also there's like a gay idea there, too. And it's like we want this hottie to come talk to us.
Oh, because he's tall and ripped.
Tall and ripped.
Tall and ripped with ideas.
Tall and ripped.
Yep.
He's got 24 abs and they're each
all
full
over his
of
body.
Of philosophical.
And yeah.
Not where you expect them.
No.
Some of them are spiritual.
Yeah.
Okay. Does this Holy Spirit coincide with your conception of the Holy Spirit? Well, what happens in Ephesus is they meet the Christian church there and he's like, oh, did you guys receive the Holy Spirit? And they're like, we don't know what the Holy Spirit is. And we just got baptized with water. And so then he like lays hands on them and the Holy Spirit enters them and they start speaking in tongues. It's like a physical transformation and there's physical proof of it.
Yes. And that was much more Protestant. That was more evangelical. And that was more like my teenage experience
really?
With the God's Gang youth group.
Yeah. Because so for me, Presbyterian, like mainline Protestant, not evangelical. That was like not a thing at all. Like my concept of the Holy Spirit was very much metaphorical.
Well, I mean, like I was also Irish Catholic, so you're just envisioning a shamrock constantly. Like, you can't help it. It's like the one thing that's in your mind when you think about it.
Did you like have? Was there supposed to be some sort of physical proof of the Holy Spirit?
No.
Okay.
No. You weren't supposed to like freak out.
And, okay.
Like foam at the mouth like a dog or anything.
Right. Like it's not the Holy Spirit is not something that you have to have like an installation window for, you know, like,
yeah.
They're like, we're not on the install schedule for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah. Oh, did they set you up? They were supposed, a guy was supposed to come with the cable and
an axe. I mean, the Holy Spirit is like something that you should have insurance for. I don't know that that's true in other books of the Bible.
You mean because of the physical ramifications?
Yeah. He's just blasting through.
Like if it hits you, if it hits you when you're
he's
on the stairs.
Fire, he's a wind. He's just like knocking down walls. He's just in there.
And the way I was raised, I like almost wasn't raised with like a trinity. Like I would say I was raised with like a binity. Like
Presbyterians, man.
You like we obviously we called it a trinity. We said Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, but like we never like talked about the Holy Spirit.
My belief is that in each particular sort of sect there's one lobe that you leave out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is
what I think.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
What can you give me another example?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No.
Great.
I just feel like someone's neglected generally. Like, you know, the Pentecostals are maybe like focusing so much on the Holy Spirit. Like that sort of thing. I just think that your focus falls on two of the guys and one of the guys gets a little bit left
in
the
shadow. It's hard to hold three people.
Three. Right. That's why it's a mystery.
Right.
That's why they chose this.
Right. Also in Ephesus, there's a silversmith.
Oh my God, the riot of the silversmiths are freaking out and fight each other because they can't make their Artemis statues anymore, you know?
That's what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is that accent?
I don't know.
Was that excited Southern belle?
It's definitely not Southern.
Is it
I
like
no
Catherine
idea.
Hepburn?
Oh yeah. Ooh. My, she was, yeah. Yeah, it's like that probably.
Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just go into it. Almost like
speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit of Katharine Hepburn.
My, she was young.
Has entered TT. Mm. Oh, in Troas, a man gets so bored listening to Paul talk on and on. That's the Bible's words.
I like to hear Paul talk.
As Paul talked
I will
on
to
and
Paul
on.
Talk.
Gets so bored, he falls asleep, falls out a third story window, and dies.
Yeah. This happens a lot. But again, and then it's
poor
like, but the
of
message
bitch.
Of God continues to be
well, no,
spread.
Paul brings
across.
Him back to life.
That's true, yes.
Which is the least he could fucking do.
He's like, hey, be more careful next time.
Is that the book that it's like the easiest for people to bring people back to life?
Oh, absolutely.
Totally. They bring so many people back to life in Acts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Left and right.
Mm-hmm. Jesus was only bringing back two people per gospel tops.
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 Tops. And it was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Even though it changed in every gospel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is where Paul says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews.
Again, these plots. Can we do something about this?
Now, Paul goes back to Jerusalem, and I just want to briefly note that he stays at the house of someone named Mnason.
Mnason, yeah. That did jump out.
M-N-A-S-O-N.
Oh, is it O-N?
Yeah, it's Mnason. Like Mason.
Mason just put that in.
But Mnason. Jewish authorities arrest him and bring him to the Romans and say he's causing political trouble, much like, very parallel to Jesus. And definitely, like, deliberately so.
And the way he ramps up to his visit to Jerusalem and everybody tells him not to go and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
But this is why Acts sucks. You're right. It's because in the Gospels, there is one or two resurrections tops. And in Acts, they're like, throw the whole thing at the wall.
This is, it's like the sequel. Everything was done.
More explosions, exactly. Pretty much. And it all goes to shit then.
It's like, you remember Agent Smith? Well, now they're like 1,000 Agent Smiths.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. And that's why it sucks.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
It is not.
They made Paul do bullet time. They've got Jar Jar Binks in there.
Jar Jar Binks is Paul?
Question mark?
Just physically?
That's your...
that's what leaps to mind for me.
A tall, ripped, hot preacher.
Mm-hmm. Racist.
Jar Jar Binks.
Caricature. Yeah.
Anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, his arc is opposite Paul's, if you believe the Darth Jar Jar hypothesis.
What is that?
Oh, that Jar Jar becomes a Sith Lord.
Oh, you don't know
Sith
the Darth
Lord.
Jar Jar hypothesis?
No.
Yeah, he becomes a Sith Lord and, like, sits at the right hand of the Emperor.
Oh, my God. It makes so much sense, though.
You knew it in your heart.
You knew it in your heart.
Yeah,
I knew
you've never heard it, but you knew
right.
It. So the Romans have Paul under arrest. They're about to start flogging him to get
which
him.
Which he would like if he would just submit to it for a second.
Yeah, but he's not ready. He hasn't, like, made that transition yet.
Yeah.
And so he's like, actually, you can't flog me because I'm a Roman citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird because he's a Pharisee. He's a Jew. He's from Judea. Why is he a Roman citizen?
And he loves to be persecuted in all other forms. So why is flogging a bridge too far?
Yeah, that's true. He's been flogged already.
Yeah.
Well, when he was an agent of the Pharisees, did he, like, earn citizenship that way? He says he was born with citizenship.
He says he was born. So, like, the commander, the Roman commander, is like, are you really a citizen? Because, like, I had to pay a big price to become a citizen, meaning he either literally paid money and bought a title or, like, performed some feat, you know, like, won a battle or whatever for the Roman Empire. And then Paul's like, well, you may have, like, paid a price, but I was born a Roman citizen.
Hmm.
Also, this stuff I'm not interested in.
Guys, we're boring TT.
Mm.
It's a lesson about privilege, though. You know, Paul can only get his time in the spotlight because of his birthright. It has nothing to do with any particular value that he brings to the table.
Also,
and he's very willing to call on it in his hour of need.
The footnote in my Bible says, how Paul's father or other ancestor had gained citizenship, no one knows.
No one knows.
Well, fuck me then.
So thanks for that super helpful footnote.
Really helpful.
It was really necessary.
That was nice.
And so then the Romans are like, oh, okay, we can't, like, put him in chains because he's, like, a citizen or whatever. So they bring him to the Sanhedrin, which is the, like, supreme court of
the
Jews.
The Beardos.
The Council of Beards.
Yeah.
And the Sanhedrin contains both Pharisees and Sadducees. These are the two different types of priests.
I mean, I never understood the difference.
Well,
she explained it in detail for several episodes in a row.
Oh, wow.
The
Sadducees are...
I'm so glad I got someone on my side now.
Upper class.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The Pharisees are middle class, but one of their biggest theological differences is the Pharisees believe in angels, spirits, and the resurrection of the dead at Judgment Day.
Correct.
And the Sadducees do not.
Yeah, and it says that. It goes into that.
Yes, but so it's very crafty what Paul does, because he says, oh, I'm on trial because I'm a Pharisee and I believe in resurrection.
Mm.
And he's really, like, he's not lying.
No, he's not.
He's there because he believes in resurrection of a certain person named Jesus Christ.
And why wouldn't he believe it?
Because Paul is a rhetorician.
He's also performed resurrection himself.
That's true. Very easily.
Not the spiritual kind, but
didn't,
like,
didn't even, like, break a sweat.
Yeah. But the physical kind.
Yeah. This guy that I bored into falling out of a window. You know, it's like, okay.
At least he acknowledged fault in that.
Right.
He was like,
I
know
agree.
What?
Yeah,
my
I
bad.
Agree.
The harshest review he ever got. Someone fell asleep, fell out a window, and died.
One star.
I died.
However, brought me back to life. 5 stars.
Edited, yeah.
Yeah, edited. So then, of course, this is a very touchy subject between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They break out in an argument that is so vehement that the Roman soldiers just leave and take Paul back to the barracks.
Yeah. He has that effect on people.
Probably because of all the philosophical abs.
Yeah. Mm.
So then they transfer him to Caesarea, which is a city that's like, I think it's a little north of Jerusalem, and it was like the administrative center of the Romans in Judea. And he's brought before Governor Felix. And Felix doesn't really have a problem with him. He's, quote, well acquainted with the way.
Yeah, he's Governor Happy, dude. Why would he have a problem?
And
Felix is chill. Yeah.
His wife is Jewish, Drusilla.
Right?
Yeah.
Drusilla.
Sapphira, Drusilla.
There's some really evil women's names and acts.
But Felix keeps Paul locked up because he's hoping that he'll offer him a bribe. So he just, he can, like, he's not, like, in a dungeon. He's just, like, chilling. People can come visit him.
Which they're supposed to do if they're Christians.
Yeah, Jesus said in Matthew 25, gotta visit people in prison. And he even talks about Jesus with Governor Felix all the time.
Yeah.
But Felix won't let him go. And that lasts for, I think, 2 years. Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, I like that. And it was, like, this one on.
For two years.
But Felix is calling him in and chatting with him, so it's
have
fine.
Dinner. You're a great conversationalist.
It's okay.
That's all he'd be doing anyway, is talking about Jesus, you know, so.
Yeah.
Then Felix is succeeded by a new governor named Porcius Festus.
Wow.
Sounds worse. Probably we already know it.
Pig party,
I'm
going
to go, I'm going to translate it as party pig.
Yeah,
party pig.
And the party pig is like, okay, what's the deal with this prisoner?
Governor Happy's days are over. I'm the party pig
now. It's time for the party pig. There's this whole thing where, like, King Herod comes to...
Yeah, there's another King Herod.
I know, it's
can
like
we get a fucking fresh name or something?
Dude, okay, this King Herod is not a king and is not named Herod.
Yeah.
And they call him King Herod just for some reason.
Consistency.
Yeah. He like, comes to visit the party pig, and they're like, I don't know, I think we should let this guy go, but then Paul has already invoked his right as a Roman citizen to appear before the emperor and have his case heard, and they're like, well, he already invoked his right, so we can't let him go now. Which is, like... some mythology bullshit that once you like say something, you have to keep your word, no matter if it means like sacrificing your daughter or like,
The whole text is very respectful, is very respectful to the Roman legal system.
Like, yes,
all their T's are crossed and all their I's
are also crossed.
Absolutely a bureaucratic document.
But I'm just saying it's because you would assume Christianity was adopted by the empire as the state religion, the text has to be very kind to the empire.
And harsh on the Jews.
Mm.
So they put Paul on a ship to Rome, but...
And this is the only part that's cool.
This is literally the only part that's cool, except for the party pig. But
party pig.
He's only in there for like a few paragraphs.
Party pig and Pentecost.
I like that magician.
Yeah, the magician.
Except then they burned his books. And I'm like, no, ancient
also,
magical
ancient,
secrets.
Ancient secrets.
It really seemed like they were like, God, you know, people practicing magic is such a problem. Like, were so many people doing this? There were like so many sorcerers.
Dude, if it worked.
I know.
They also, there was a sorcerer named Bar Jesus.
Yes.
I know.
It's like,
everybody,
love Bar Jesus.
That's the
everybody
Jesus.
Has met Bar Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you're at the bar, you're
Bar
too
Jesus
drunk.
Is Chris Angel mind free. He is. Think about it.
Chris Angel, Bar Jesus.
Chris Angel, Bar Jesus, mind freak.
Yeah, mind freak.
Write that novel.
Put that in your Bible.
Just make that a whole thing. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Christian magic. It's a thing, right?
It's very blasphemous, yeah.
Ooh, so blasphemous, but,
right? But
such an untapped market.
But tantalizing.
They want what they can't have.
New wine at 9, Bar Jesus, mind freak.
Chris Angel. Jesus. Yeah. The other one's better.
Chris Angel Jesus.
Chris Angel Jesus. It's more straightforward in a way.
In a way.
Yeah.
It's like a super text.
In another truer way.
All right. So Paul, he's on a boat.
On a boat. The weather is bad.
Mm.
Paul tells everyone like.
He seems to be surrounded by incompetent sailors because they're like.
Yeah. Who are these guys?
I don't know.
Right.
They're like, we're going to sail to Rome. And he's like, it's about to be winter and this boat can't survive winter. And they're like.
Don't
Let's
worry
just
about
leave
it.
Instead.
We're just gonna go though. Yeah.
Which again, I think it's another callback to Jonah
mm-hmm.
and to Jesus calming the storm, mm-hmm. obviously.
Are sailors always idiots in the Bible? Question.
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 Well, I think with Jonah, the sailors weren't the idiots Jonah was.
But there's a sort of like a foolishness attributed to sailors, a foolhardiness.
Well, they let him on board, but he paid a lot of money to get on board. They couldn't have known that he was defying God's express commandment. Yeah. Although they should have asked him questions. Mm. But once they see those denarii hitting the deck.
And that body, that amazing body.
Wait, are we talking about Jonah or Paul?
Paul.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were talking about Jonah. I'm like, how many people in the Bible are cut?
No, all of them. That's the only reason I read it. Mm. Wasn't that everyone else's idea?
Not Eglon.
Eglon, the egg lord, the fattest king of all time.
He was very fat.
Fattest king of all time.
He was.
And
it says that.
Like competition when it comes to fat kings. I mean, there are a lot of them.
His coffin was big enough to like put a family's bed in.
Wow.
It was also round shaped.
Mm-hmm.
Well, egg shaped.
Because
he was egg shaped.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wasn't like a Humpty Dumpty precursor.
Oh, he was. Undoubtedly. Because he gets his insides spill out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
There's a graphic description
of
the sword going through his layers of fat.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah.
Yum.
Also, he's like on the toilet, I think.
I think we may be conflating a couple things, but this is great.
No, no, no.
This is great stuff.
His men just thought he was on the toilet.
That's right.
That's why they didn't come check on him.
They were like, Egg Lord's been in there for days.
Yeah.
That's just the way he rolls, though. Yeah. Some guys save it up.
Yeah.
That's the way he rolls. A little bit off center.
Like an egg. Yeah.
So we're back. Paul is on the boat.
Do we have to, though?
A storm happens. They get shipwrecked on Malta.
Mm.
But everybody
didn't see that coming.
I know.
To be
just
honest,
just in season for Carnival.
Everybody survives because they follow his magic god instructions. Where like they can't use the lifeboats.
Now you know that Robert Altman's Popeye was filmed on Malta. Right?
I didn't know that.
And
what a strange film.
The Village is Still There. It's a very strange film. The music's amazing.
It is.
So think about Paul rolling up in that village.
Also, for any listeners who haven't read Trisha's book, Balloon Pop, Outlaw Black.
Oh, it's about,
it's full of Popeyes and covered in Popeyes.
Yeah, total Popeye stuff, yeah.
And so they're on Malta, and it's the barbarians on the island.
Mm. Mine said natives.
Natives. I had natives.
The Greek is barbarians.
Wow. Whoa. Harsh.
Well, I guess we should shut up and leave since we're not knowing the Greek of it. Okay, fine.
Literally. We do a segment on the show called Etymology Corner. Literally, that's what I have created.
That's where it
for myself.
Should stay in the corner.
The barbarians are very friendly, and I just want you to tell you that my Bible's footnotes said that they're not actually barbarians. They're actually of Phoenician blood.
Oh, just some Phoenicians then.
I just like it's like, oh, don't worry, they weren't barbarians. They were one of the good races.
It's also like that's a very like, they were like seagoing people, right?
Yeah.
The Phoenicians.
Yeah.
They help the stranded sailors. They see Paul get bit by a viper, and they think, wow, he must have done something really bad.
Yeah, they were like, well, he tried to kill you, and you're going to die anyway. But he's like, no, I made it. And they're like, well, you're a god then. It's so easy for natives to make that leap in literature. Don't you find?
You know, it's true.
Yeah.
I hadn't really, like, thought about that.
No, they jumped to... He's a god. Very
quickly.
They do
that twice in this book.
Yeah.
And like, you would think that's a modern
white, piece of racism.
White European
sort of
creation.
Colonial. Yeah, but it goes back pretty far.
Goes back.
Yeah.
So then he doesn't ever dissuade them of this notion.
No,
it doesn't say.
So there is still on Malta the cult of a snake Paul.
A snake Paul.
You know, he's
got
the
like opposite of Saint Patrick.
Little adders attached to every wrist and is like flinging them around. He's still worshipped there.
Thank you, Catherine, for joining us again.
How has it been being dead these past 40 years?
I've loved every minute of it.
Finally, they get to Rome. They say the winter on Malta. They finally get to Rome.
Winter on Malta. That sounds lovely.
I know, doesn't it?
Malta.
I bet they have that like chestnut pasta there.
No, that's Sardinia.
I know, but like, don't you think they might have some on Malta also?
They must have a special pasta.
They must have some
at least some kind of special pasta.
We're going to look it up.
In Rome, Paul's supposed to be locked up, but he just like rents a room.
I never get this. Yeah, it's like, okay, all right, fine.
They literally, it says he rents a house and they just have like one guard posted outside.
I love that. He's like, well, I could get a hotel, but if you look at the price, I could get a nice house like just a couple metro stops away from the city center and it would be fine. And I could have people stay with me, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the guard's like, yeah, sure, go for it. And people just come and go.
Sounds like he lives a nice life in Rome.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly.
It does seem that way.
Because he gets to talk about Jesus all day, which is all he wants to do anyway.
That's true.
And he, like, converts a bunch of people, like, from his house. He works from home.
How mm-hmm. big were these houses?
Good question.
Like, that's another thing I wondered reading the Bible as a kid. Yeah. Like, what were these houses?
I wonder, too, because he's in, like, Rome mm-hmm. proper. Mm. So I assume pretty small.
But it seemed like they were massive, you know? It seemed like just, like, all these Christians were crammed in like sardines.
Mm. Sardines, huh?
They may. Nico's, like, on a sardine kick right now. He has, like, 10 different canned fishes in the pantry right now.
Wild caught, everybody. Save your letters.
Dolphins safe, fuckers.
Dolphins safe, fuckers.
Dolphins safe, fuckers.
That's where it ends.
I know.
He never,
it's a little
Lisa,
abrupt.
It's so stupid.
He never goes
this
to trial.
This is so fucking dumb.
It's a little abrupt.
He's like on trial for his life and by extension, the life of Christianity in the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
He gets to Rome to finally plead his case before the
it's
emperor.
It's like the last boss battle.
They come to him and they're like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. There have been no charges filed against you. And he's
yeah,
like,
we don't have you
like,
in
perfect.
The
I'm on
system.
Vacation.
Amen. Yeah.
He's on a Roman holiday, speaking
just,
of Hepburn.
It's just fine.
Nice.
That's a sad movie, though.
Roman Holiday?
Yeah.
It's good, though.
I don't
She's
know.
She's trapped in the end.
I've never
she
seen,
is. And yeah. it's got a way... age disparity in the main romance.
Way. Yeah.
You guys are looking at me really expectantly.
No, you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you should watch it at least for the haircut scene.
Is there any like etymology in it?
There are plenty of words. Words involve etymology.
Yeah. Do they like ever...
And there's like bureaucracy and like rules you have to follow.
There's rules?
Yeah, there's rules.
Oh, I like rules.
Yeah, like old European ones.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Etiquette? You like etiquette?
Well, yeah, mostly.
Do you like someone losing a shoe while they're, like, doing royal duties and then having to sort of feel around with her tiny foot to get the shoe again because she can't step down?
No, that doesn't sound...
This sounds like... Good.
That's mainly what that
movie's
about.
Your new favorite movie.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like the whole thing of it. That's the okay. entire movie. She's a Christ figure in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any movie that has been made
yes.
that doesn't... You have some sort of Christ figure in it.
No, I can make a Christ
like,
figure.
You could make
out
a Christ figure out of literally every
yeah, yeah.
movie.
What's the most far-fetched? Let's find it.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
I feel like that's doable.
The Hidden Dragon is the Holy Spirit in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And also any mm-hmm. of those movies where there's like slow-mo arrows and things flying past people, the Christ metaphor is very obvious.
Somebody sacrifices themselves for somebody else in every kung fu movie. So those
that's
are
true.
Oh, okay.
That's true. That's
okay.
true.
Okay.
Wayne's World.
Hmm.
Be excellent to each other.
That's the that's, wrong movie.
Jesus Christ, Lauren. You've disappointed me one too many times.
I have not seen like any movies. Here's a list of movies that I've seen.
Air Bud. Air Bud 2.
Air Bud is Jesus.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely
He's
true.
Jumping.
Any movie with an animal. That's always, the animal is always a Christ figure.
Always.
Sacrifices
always.
Himself. Is pushed away, but returns no matter
Which makes Old Yeller
times.
Like a pretty dark film.
Oh, Old Yeller's.
It wasn't in any way?
I don't remember the ending.
Hmm. Old Yeller fucking gets rabies and dies.
Yeah, all those dog movies.
He gets the hydrophobia.
I was kidding. That's the only famous thing about that film.
The only famous thing.
They call it the hydrophobia in the book.
Yeah.
That's a good name for it.
That's another... word for rabies. It's from hydro.
So let's
water.
Have another conversation
Fuck
while this is happening.
You.
Phobia.
Fuck
fear.
You. Yeah. We're,
How's
you
book tour been?
It's pretty crazy so far.
Hey, actually. Can we rate the book?
Yes.
Nico, how would you rate this book?
I would give this book 3 out of 7 idols to an unknown god.
Nice. We didn't cover that in the episode, but it's a great unit.
Thank you.
Would you care to explain your reasoning?
Yeah. This feels like a bad sequel to the Gospels.
Which it is.
It has the sticky fingerprints of later editors all over it, which I don't like those. I got to get me my primary sources or as close as possible because I...
well, good luck with that.
My primary sources. Gotta have me some of that.
I'll take that as admiring impersonation.
It was. It really was. Yeah.
There are some nice moments, but... I'm not sure that they are all intentional or if I'm just finding enjoyment in the goofy, strange things
yeah.
that they get left in.
Yeah.
Mostly it seems like Paul spends time summarizing Jesus' message, which is fine. I've already read the Gospels And
Paul is cool, though, but Peter is full of shit. Like, we hate Peter, right? Or do you prefer Peter? I like Paul because he's crazier.
I like Paul because, yeah, he's got crazy eyes.
He's got
like,
the crazy
what is he
eye.
Up to?
Yeah, right.
What's his game?
He's just a lot more interesting. He's a lot more textual of a character.
I mean, my thing is,
Peter's the founder
why don't you go now?
And the fisherman, so of course you would like him more, wouldn't you, Lauren? Yes.
Wait, what does that have to do with?
Hey,
come on.
Just accept that you got roasted and
yeah,
give your fucking game.
Yeah, this is like a basic personality analysis
okay.
here. Duh.
My thing is, Jesus appointed Peter.
Wow.
Paul's just some rando.
That's what we like.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm just not decided yet. I'm undecided about Peter and Paul.
Okay.
What's your rating?
My rating is 5 out of 13 silver shrines to Artemis.
Mm.
And that is because I love all the wacky hijinks.
Sure.
Not thrilled.
You do subscribe to Wacky Hijinks Weekly.
Not thrilled with the anti-Semitism. And I there's a lot of stuff that I'm not sure. I could really go either way on it. Like, I can't tell if I think it's awesome that Paul bored someone to death and then brought them back to life. Or, like, if it's bad.
Actually the worst thing in the Bible.
Yeah.
And there's some competition.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, I don't know. That's my thing. I have lost my words. I'm freaking out.
Mixed opinions.
I'm
going to
go with, I'm going to go with 1.5 intactivists, but not tell you out of how many, because
that's fair.
Is the question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Isn't it, though?
Putting the mystery back in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Would you care to elaborate more?
No.
That's
nope.
all.
That's
okay.
it.
That's great. That's very, like, Gnostic of you.
Oh, I'm like the most Gnostic bitch you'll ever meet.
That's what your license plate is? Gnostic bitch?
Yeah. Yes, it is my license plate. If I could drive a car, do you think a Gnostic could drive a fucking car?
They might know how to.
They might know how.
If we're at that point, we're going to have to terminate this.
Okay.
I also didn't say that. You said that.
Someone said it.
And you're fired.
Why have I been made the bad guy on my own podcast?
You did it. You did that thing.
So, Patricia, remind us about the book. Where can people find it?
Oh, now I think you can just buy it in any old store.
You can. It came out, by the time this comes out, it'll have been out like 2 weeks.
Oh my God, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there'll be like...
no copies left, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Literally the best book that you will read this year. I guarantee that.
Yep.
If
it's
you
so
don't...
much better than Acts.
Oh, like that's...
That's
yeah.
not even...
That's
not
even
a copy.
Yeah.
If you don't want to read this book, I will find you and kill you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's my recommendation.
And you always keep your promise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a rule
You're
follower.
Honor bound, right?
I'm a rule
so you guys
follower.
Better watch out.
Yeah. And also a murderer.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that
I will.
As well. That as well.
I will kill.
I mean, I've bored
you.
Some people to death in my time. I've yelled at people that hard before.
Mm-hmm. Been so disappointed in people that
yeah.
they died.
Yeah. We all have that capability.
Yeah. We all have like a spark of the divine. Like we all have the Holy Spirit in us.
Yeah.
Mainly for killing.
That's something yeah. that Jesus gave to us. Like, yeah, the ability to kill.
Wow, way to bring it back around.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. Mm. I think that wraps it up for our show.
I agree.
It truly does. My, she was, yeah.
You can find us on Twitter at Sun School Drop.
You can find us on Facebook at Sunday School Dropouts.
You can send us mail, including pets that need to be blessed or cursed, to contact@sundayschooldropouts.lol.
You can find me on Twitter at Lauren E. O'Neill. You can find TT on Twitter at Trisha Lockwood. You can't find Nico on Twitter yet.
But you can find all the music from the show as well as my original compositions at soundcloud.com/Nico Bakulich. NikoBakulich.
And if you want to leave us 5-star review on iTunes, we wouldn't complain. In fact, we will add it to the tally that we're using. Cyberbully Nico into joining Twitter.
An agreement I don't remember. We'll be back next week with more Bible. As always, my name is Nico Bakulich.
And I'm Lauren O'Neill.
And we love you very much.
And we'll see you Sunday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.